Do you think I came to bring peace? Amen. Hey, Father Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, it's good to see you. So before we begin our conversation on this light topic today, I just want to say happy one-year anniversary with us at Grace. And I just want to say that as your co-worker, the gifts that you bring us, the gifts that you bring me as your co-worker are tremendous. And it was a surprise. It was such a pleasant surprise that you ended up here. And I thank God for it.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thanks.
I know you like to be the center of attention too. So I'm just going to kind of keep going with this for a minute because I'm enjoying it. So I thought for your one-year anniversary, it would probably be nice to just... I'm not going to do anything, I swear. No,
I thought it was going to be something like more embarrassing.
No. Well, I mean, it might be. It depends on how this conversation goes. But for your one-year anniversary, I thought, you know, let's do something light. Let's have like a light scripture and just a casual conversation. Does that sound okay? Okay, good. So do you think I came to bring peace? No, but rather division. So I don't know if you all know this about me, but I love music. Music to me is the prophetic way of understanding the times that we are in, which hopefully we'll get to in a minute, but I love music. And so often when I read scripture, a song will just come to me. Like, and I imagine if Jesus were here, I would be like, all right, I'll back you up. While you do this thing, I'm going to back you up with the song. So the one for today, I'm going to see if you can guess what it is. Okay, hit it, Kathy. That was beautiful. All right. If any of you say right now, Vanilla Ice, please make an appointment with me for spiritual direction immediately. Who was it? Under Pressure. David Bowie and Queen. You can't separate the two. So I was reading scripture and the song just flooded me. And I was like, that's so interesting. Because to be honest, I don't really know the lyrics of this song. I just know that, you know, which is really catchy. And I love to dance to it. So I looked up the lyrics. Seriously, you all should listen to the song. But it says, pressure pressing down on me, pressing down on you, under pressure that burns a building down and splits a family in two. I was like, whoa, David Bowie. I think you might have been listening to the scripture or talking to Jesus, but you know, Queen, whatever. So that's my song, and we'll get to it a little bit more because the song goes on to really capture this. What about for you?
Yeah.
Oh, 29-year-old.
So,
I won't even know.
So I just got home from Denver last night, and you texted me. You get up early. So,
I do get up early.
So Millie texted me at 6:30 in the morning and said, hey, what's a song that, you know, that reminds you of this scripture? And so I'm coming back from mountain time. I wake up at 7:30. It feels like 5:30, and read my phone, and I'm like, I have no idea. And so I did have a little bit of time to think about it in between getting ready to come here and then my car breaking down on the way to work. No, not saying that for pity's sake, but...
true.
So I have two. One is It's All Over Now, Baby Blue by Bob Dylan. Particularly, he writes, leave your stepping stones behind. There's something that calls for you. Forget the dead you've left. They will not follow you. The vagabond who's rapping at your door is standing in the clothes that you once wore. And I think that the song speaks particularly to change and moments where things are transforming and how we may be more or less comfortable with that. The second song is Nothing But Flowers by the Talking Heads. Some folks may be more or less familiar with that, but it paints a picture of this sort of utopian universe where all of the unfortunate things of our world, like cars and highways, have been decimated and replaced with meadows of flowers and all of these wonderful things. But the singer yearns for the return of the honky-tonks and 7-Elevens, right? He can't handle how great this new world is, which speaks in some ways to our human experience and the way that we grapple with transformation and with conflict.
Mm-hmm. So that's, how do we grapple with that, right, as humans, which I think is exactly what this scripture is about. So I want to invite us all, just for a second, and invite you, Mike, to contemplate when you hear this scripture, how does your body feel? As you were listening to the scripture, how did your body feel? What feelings came up for you when you hear, no, I did not come to bring peace, but rather division? And then the going on about, I had this impulse to read that really quickly because I didn't like the way I was feeling. Father against son, son against father, and then the mother-in-law part. You know how many jokes have been made about that? Like, yeah, duh. But you know, it just goes on. And so I was checking in with my body to slow down a bit because I knew that it was important, right? So I invite you to think about that. But I'd already
invited you to consider that before now. When you hear it, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, probably obvious, maybe obvious, but it makes me feel really unsettled and uncomfortable. And I think it particularly makes people like me feel that way, because it's about things like conflict and change, which are things that I'm terribly afraid of. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those passages, you know, you mentioned having to really be aware of speaking slowly and intentionally while you ran through this scripture verse. And I think that's one of the best lessons of becoming a priest and having to suddenly go before a congregation and read the gospel is there are plenty of times, and I hope this is no secret, that we read things that like freak us out. And then I'm like, gee, this is kind of like off color, right? And yet having to grapple with those things. Mm-hmm. So it makes me feel deeply uncomfortable, and I suspect maybe on some level made you feel similarly, given the way that you're already... Okay, yeah.
You know how I was saying earlier that you're a gift to me, and one of the reasons you're a gift is because we are so different in some ways. We have some similarities, like we're both very scatterbrained. That doesn't always help. But we are very different in one way, which is that I am very comfortable with conflict.
Yeah.
You all know, last week we talked about argue it out. I have almost
too much of a comfort with conflict, and I love change.
It's a personality. It's also an attachment I'm learning more about. It's an attachment style.
Change is fine with me. I'm used to it. It
doesn't make me anxious. I
run towards it. So for me, when I read this, I feel liberated. Like,
oh, I'm not alone, right? This is the way things go. The way I read the world isn't
crazy. It's true. Like, there is division. There is change. It is just reality. And so it feels liberating to me because I don't feel alone when I read this. But I also think partly
why it is uncomfortable for some of us is that we don't like conflict or change, but also because maybe we're not reading it for what it was meant to be heard
as.
Does that make sense? The context is so different. We're reading it now when we have a certain understanding of fire. We're reading it now when we have a certain understanding of stress. So I want to think about those two words for a minute. Mm-hmm. First of all, I came to bring fire. What is the purpose of fire? For us, I think a lot of us have fear of fire, right? We fear fire because it destroys. What does it destroy? Well, it destroys our stuff. But fire
in its natural element is a natural element that has an original intent, original purpose. What
do you think of when you think about fire?
Yeah, I think that fire is something that transmutes, right? So it transmutes the very logs that burn to create fire. It might, you know, change the food that we're preparing to eat. It will warm a habitat. It does all kinds of things, and yet it's also can be destructive. It's like most elements or other things. It's about its balance and kind of mediation. It's neither inherently good nor bad.
Right. So I'm thinking about, right, it is not inherently good or bad, but it does have an original intent. The original intent of fire is to transform.
Right.
So when Jesus says, "I came to bring fire," he's not saying to burn everything down. He's saying to transform. He came to transform. The fire that burns but does not consume. So who is that in line with? Moses, right? So he came to bring the fire that burns but does not consume. It transforms. And yet, transformation has consequences. Transformation has consequences. And so then Jesus uses the word stressed. But the word that comes to me is pressure. What pressure I am under. What stress I am under. And again, when I think about this, I think about pressure and stress do what? They change things. We as humans and the natural environment doesn't change without some sort of pressure or stress. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what makes you write a sermon on a Saturday.
Yes. And it's what makes us, I think, fearful, uncomfortable. Because how do we know the consequences of our own transformation?
Yeah. Yeah, and yet, like, Jesus wasn't necessarily bringing about those tensions and stressors that are talked about in the gospel, but is sort of just stating the fact that they exist already.
Right. So then I'm thinking about the crowd. I think my mic just now turned on. So I'm thinking about who it is that would have been there in the crowd listening. Who do you think would have been there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would have been all kinds of people, especially someone like Jesus. It would have been people who were interested and believed in what he was saying, just as it would have been people who were there out of mere curiosity or because they thought that it was hysterical or ridiculous. There would have been people who were quite rich, as we've learned from plenty of parables. There would have been people who were sick, who had nothing. So if we can think of our own society and that kind of cross-section of people coming together, it's really not that different than who stands around when somebody's shouting into a microphone up at PAX Square, right?
Right.
Anybody and everybody.
Right.
And it's a strange thing to look upon.
Right.
Right? And there are all kinds of emotions. Thankfully, Jesus is, a little bit better than the folks who usually tend to be shouting at PAX Square.
But the people who... Sorry, you all. The people who have gathered there to hear Jesus, there is already, like you said, Jesus didn't bring this division. The division exists. Jesus is speaking into the division. He isn't creating it. But then... The other reality that Jesus is speaking into is that there are, because whenever Jesus is there talking to people, what he's doing is inviting them into the work, right? Into the work of transformation. And so what Jesus is saying is there are consequences to following him, right, to doing the work. What would some of those consequences be for the people gathered there? What are they for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all of the kinds of things that we've mentioned, that, you know, there is fear and there is discomfort and there is, you know, introspection and there's inevitable conflict, both internally and within systems of people, whether it's families, like it's talked about here, or, you know, larger societal systems. Anytime anyone wants to get better, that's a natural product of that. I know it's kind of like a hokey truism, but, you know, that sort of like one step back before going three steps forward, I think there's truth to that.
Mm-hmm. And when Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace, but division, the division is a part of the transformation. Things break apart. Peace is a consequence of following Jesus. Jesus, so I think a lot of us feel entitled to peace. Our culture perhaps feels entitled to peace. Like as if we should feel peaceful just because we exist, not because we do the work to arrive at a peaceful place. Not because of transformation. And what does that, there is a fear of not feeling peaceful. If I don't feel peaceful, there's something wrong with me. If I don't feel peaceful, there's something wrong with my church or my community or the world. But peace is isn't something that we just get. We can't buy it as much as the world would like to think that they can sell it to us. We can't just buy peace. Peace is something we have to invest in. We have to be willing to do the work. So the division, especially within the tribes that Jesus is speaking to, is a natural consequence of following Jesus, of doing things differently, and of being transformed. So peace is a consequence to that work, not just something that Jesus shows up with and hands us.
Right, and I mean, and it's possible that those people in that crowd imagined that they were at some kind of peace in that moment, or some semblance of peace, just by virtue of the absence of conflict, which, of course, we know is not real. That's maybe a superficial kind of peace. And Jesus, you know, puts out on the table what's already present in search of, you know, true peace, the peace, like you said, that, you know, it's not given to us, but that we have to work really hard to move towards.
And sometimes I think we have to let things go, let divisions occur, not only within the world around us, but within ourselves. We have to let things break apart in order for them to come back together. Like, if we are anything, we are a people of resurrection. And if that's true, that we believe in resurrection, then we believe that death leads to rebirth. But it is still hard to let things die.
Yeah.
I'm curious sometimes if letting things die isn't the harder part rather than the conflict. We just know that sometimes in division and conflict, things are going to die. And I am curious if it is almost harder, if that's the thing we're actually afraid of. Isn't just the conflict, but it is. And so then Jesus goes on to the last part to say, you hypocrites. You know, does anybody remember Precious Moments dolls? I've always wanted to have a Precious Moments doll that just says at the bottom, you hypocrites. But this isn't one of those moments.
You've lost me. I have no clue what this is.
The older people here,
yeah.
They get it, so it's okay. I'll explain to you later. But we do have this idealized notion of Jesus as the peacemaker, as the good shepherd, but the kicking over the tables and the yelling at the crowds, you hypocrites, we don't lift that up and idealize that in the same way because it makes us uncomfortable, right? But so at the end, when he's saying you hypocrites, what do you think he's trying to get you in? What do you think his impulse is in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Jesus is taking things that are important for people's basic survival, interpreting the appearance of earth and sky. So it says, you see the south wind blowing and you say there will be scorching heat for an agricultural society or just a society of people who are trying to live, right? It's important to know when it's going to be very hot. But you don't know how to interpret the present time. So people are understanding how to survive in one sense of the word, but not in another. So I think that Jesus, and Jesus seems to often do this, take things that people understand in a really practical and tangible level, often talking about things like agriculture, and then applying sort of more spiritual or cerebral principles to that. You know, you understand when the wind is blowing this way and what that means for you, but how come you don't understand what's happening when there's this conflict happening in your society and when I'm here to try to wake people up?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. What's the good news in this, Mike? What do you think is the good news in this scripture?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the good news is that we've found ourselves, you know, I think it's fair to say over the last however many years we want to say now, in a time of conflict and upheaval and things that have felt uncomfortable for a lot of people. And I think there's something valuable in learning that that's not particular to us or to here, or we might, you know, have imagined or lived through that same situation when Bob Dylan was writing music in the 1960s, and people can idealize that time now, but I imagine it was hard to live through. And so it gives us, you know, a good guide for, hey, you know, stick with it. When times feel like they're really hard, there's good change that's happening, and we have to be able to pay attention to that. What do you see?
So what feels liberating to me, and what is the good news for me in this, is it's not the end of the story. Division isn't the end of the story. Resurrection and transformation is, and it is continual. We're not going to get to a place in our faith, in our world, where everything is finally done and transformation has occurred and there is peace. Peace is a choice. It's a product of the transformation work. Peace for me comes from acceptance. I accept that division and things falling apart is a part of God's plan. It isn't the absence of God. It is the need of God in that moment that brings me great peace. And the need of you, the need of this community. Because if division and difficulties are always going to exist, the truth is, we need the love and connection found here with each other even more if we are going to have the resiliency to withstand the division and the pressure and the fire of transformation, right? And so, David Bowie, it's so interesting. I'm sorry, this is, I'm totally nerding out on you people, but here we go. He says, people on the streets, it is the terror of knowing what this world is about. Watching friends scream, let me out. But it takes us to a higher place, and he says, give love, give love, give love. For love is an old-fashioned word, and love dares you to care for the people on the edge of the night, and love dares you to change our ways of caring about ourselves. This is our last dance. This is ourselves under pressure. Love. Love. To me, the good news, the gospel, is always our call to love during this process of transformation that we are, in fact, blessed to be under. Pressure and all.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the ways that you show up for us in this world. We thank you for the change. Thank you for the stress. We thank you for the love. We thank you for connection that helps us to move through this world. Give us the resiliency and the courage to walk in it together, to walk the way of love with you. All of this we ask in the name of the one that is risen and with us all right now. Amen.
Amen.